Recreational marijuana use is legal now in Michigan. Now, we know that you can't drink alcohol and drive under the influence of it. You'll get pulled over if you're exhibiting actions consistent with somebody that's been drinking and driving, and you could be asked to take a breathalyzer test. What if you're using marijuana and you get pulled over? Joining us right now from Michigan Auto Law is attorney Steve Gersten. He's written a blog about this on the MichiganAutoLaw.com website. He joins us right now. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
This is really interesting because we haven't really talked much about what happens if you get nailed for driving under the influence of marijuana in Michigan. Help us understand what are some of the things that we need to know.
Sure. It's really interesting because there's a lot we know, but as you just said, there's a lot we don't know because the law is so new. It just took effect in December of last year. So what we do know for sure is you can't drive under the influence of marijuana. But if you have a medical marijuana card, if you're a medical marijuana user, there's still an open question of whether you can drive while using marijuana, just not under the influence. But if you're a recreational user, you cannot drive and use marijuana at all. We do know that.
Here's where it gets complicated, though. How is an officer going to prove that you were using marijuana, even if you were driving erratically and they pull you over? How do they know that you were driving under the influence of marijuana?
Yeah, so that's really interesting because Michigan elected not to create a THC limit like they have in some other states where marijuana is legal. So they can't test the THC levels to see if you're driving impaired in Michigan. So they're going to use old-fashioned police work and circumstantial evidence to determine if someone has violated the marijuana and driving laws in Michigan. So that would include basically observations and reports on the driver and his driving, observations on the driver's physical condition and how he or she looked. He could smell pot on the driver and admissions by the driver. And then there is the possibility of doing a field sobriety test, but obviously you have to be substantially impaired with marijuana to flag that.
How's that going to hold up in court?
Well, criminal lawyers are going to have a lot to argue because, again, you know, it's not like a breathalyzer that tests for alcohol. This is a much, much tougher thing for police officers to be able to prove, and criminal defense lawyers are going to be able to attack it in many different ways because they are trying to argue this circumstantially. So the officer's opinions are fallible and vulnerable to attack and cross-examination. It will be a much, much more difficult thing to prove in court.
You know, you mentioned the test for THC that other states have used. Any indication as to why Michigan opted not to do that kind of testing?
Yes. Unfortunately, the test is vulnerable scientifically. Unlike a breathalyzer where there's a clear temporal relationship, we can have a toxicology expert say, okay, you know, based upon this level, there is probably this much consumption over this period of time immediately before the test was administered. With THC, there's a number of things that could not only make it substantially false positive, but also the temporal relationship is much more difficult to prove because THC can stay in your system for such a long time. And it's not like there's a direct A to B relationship in terms of time where you can use that to then show that someone immediately consumed marijuana and was driving impaired. So the THC limit, it makes it easier for law enforcement, but there's a lot of reasons why I think Michigan chose not to use that.
Yeah. You mentioned some of the, possible indications that somebody is driving under the influence, one of which being, you know, just the smell of marijuana. But some people don't smoke marijuana. They ingest it through edibles. And that's going to be much harder to detect.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I mean, people probably, your older listeners probably have like a Cheech and Chong movie in their
right.
mind. They're mad anywhere. Van door slides open.
Exactly. Smoke. Clubs rolling out, exactly. I'm picturing that myself right now.
Stumble out. And you know, the funny thing is, I think the legislature probably was thinking about that too when they created some of these ways for police officers to prove it circumstantially. Because you're right, if people are vaping or using edibles, you know, gummies, what have you, you can't prove it by odor. And, you know, it's really hard to prove it by people's physical appearance, just how they look. And, you know, and the other thing you have to remember is, even though statistically, and this is interesting, when this became legal in Washington state, there was an increase in the number of car accidents. There was. So people also think that, you know, marijuana is harmless when you're driving on the road because, you know, you're probably driving 30 miles under the posted speed limit and, you know, you can't harm anybody. That's actually not true. You are driving impaired. But as you said, it's going to be much tougher to prove.
Absolutely. How are we seeing this play out so far? Like you said, this is brand new. This is just a couple months old. Are we seeing this tested in court yet, or do you anticipate that to happen?
Oh, this will be tested. There'll be cases coming. There was already a case that came out in 2003, which was really interesting regarding medical marijuana. Because the laws are also in conflict in Michigan, because we do have a zero tolerance law.
Oh, that's right.
But then we had legalized pot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were clearly in conflict. And in 2003, the Michigan Supreme Court ruled that the any amount zero tolerance law in Michigan would be trumped by the medical marijuana law. That people could drive with medical marijuana. We have no idea if that zero tolerance law is going to apply to recreational pot or not. So all this is going to need to be decided in the courts.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. And then, by the way, let's point out that you know, most people who use marijuana, I think, tend to be careful. But you said that there are also those that feel that, well, because they're driving slower, it's a different kind of impairment feel than alcohol. If you can't hold on to your car keys and you're staggering and you see three lines in front of you instead of one in the road, that's different than how it feels if you're driving under the influence of marijuana.
Right. And the other thing to keep in mind is even though when for example, in Washington State, when they did see an increase in car accidents, you have to compare that to the number of car crashes that occur today all over Michigan because of drugged driving. And people are under these powerful prescriptions, especially pain medications. You know, unfortunately, we've had a horrible opiate crisis in this country. And, you know, drugged driving is so much more dangerous than the dangers posed by marijuana, not only in terms of people, you know, no one's ever died from taking marijuana the way they have from, you know, these opiates and powerful narcotics. So there are different dangers. And while we're lessening the dangers, because there are so many thousands and thousands of people on our roads who suffer from chronic pain.
For sure.
So the question is, what are we going to do with them? Are we going to give them something that is going to pose less danger to society and themselves through marijuana? Or are we going to not allow them to use marijuana and continue to use these powerful opiate, pain, narcotic-type medications, which we've seen has caused its own crisis and far more car crashes on our roads. And obviously, thankfully, I feel as an auto accident attorney, thankfully we elected to legalize marijuana and have medical marijuana available in Michigan.
But it does need to be approached with a great sense of caution, doesn't it?
Yes. It does. And, you know, people, the key takeaway here is the level of impairment.
Yeah.
And, you know, drivers have to be responsible and they have to make good decisions. And, you know, if you're a medical marijuana user, yes, you can use it while you're in a car, but there's a difference between using it responsibly for pain alleviation and for chronic pain or for people who suffer from neurodegenerative diseases like Parkinson's, and using it the way that, you know, we sometimes see in TV and the movies, which is, you know, an irresponsible way that's going to pose a real danger to everybody on our roads.
Yeah. It's an interesting piece, marijuana and driving laws in Michigan, what you need to know. It's posted at the michiganautolaw.com website. Steve, interesting stuff for us to think about. We appreciate you joining us this morning.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me. All right. Drive safe today.
Yeah, you too. Take care. Bye-bye.